There's some benefits to taking some time off, as we all know. One of the benefits it can be is the opportunity to look perhaps a little bit further along in what's happening in the lectionary than I usually do. Just the ordinary press of life. Not that I did nothing. I was really busy while I was off. One of those going back to work to get some rest kinds of things. But I did carve out some time to look to see where the lectionary is going the next little while. Because I really need to choose, do I pick up on the life of Moses and Exodus, or do I go somewhere else? And we've been in Romans, and so the news, good, bad, or indifferent, however you choose to interpret it, is that we're going to finish up the lectionary sections in Romans for the next 3 or 4 weeks. And so obviously we're going to be looking at Romans 12, as was read for us this morning. And this is a very well-known passage, at least to many of us, perhaps even most of us, particularly the first two verses, where it says, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is a spiritual act of worship. And we've had that, we've heard that often, talking about how what we do now matters and how we're not going to be some kind of weird sacrifice at the end of our life. But no, what we're doing now is an act of worship, and that's very helpful. And then we come into a verse that is possible to be misinformed about or to misinterpret, which is where we're going to spend most of our time, and that's verse 2, where it says in this translation, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And once again, as you know perfectly well, I project much of my own experience on you, for better or worse. I misinterpreted this verse when I was younger, and many people did as well. So it's possible that you're one of them. And what we frequently read this verse as, not what the words say, but something along the lines of, well, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but transform yourself after you have renewed your mind all on your own. Well, there's some problems with that, not least of which is it doesn't work. If we are going to spend our time renewing our mind so that we may then become transformed, we are going to fail if we decide that we are the ones who are going to make the transformation on the basis of what we have done. And there's all kinds of problems with that, not least of which is the same problem we have with New Year's resolutions. See, the problem with the human brain is that when we say we are going to do this thing, we plan it, we write it on a to-do list, we get this little jolt of dopamine, which is one of the feel-good chemicals in our brain. And our brain says, it in this some way, we're not crazy, this is what we all do. Our brain says, well, we've already done that. And we don't have to work on it so much anymore. Behavioral economists, psychologists of all kinds, functional MRI people have helped us realize that it's not just a failure of willpower that we fall off our New Year's resolutions by about the 21st of January. It's part of how our brain functions. And the double bad news is that this is especially bad in the English language. Other languages obviously interpret the world differently. How you describe things affects what it does to you on the inside. Other languages don't struggle quite as much with this, but in English we do. And as soon as we say, well, I'm going to renew my mind, we get this, oh, I've renewed my mind. Well, no, you haven't. You haven't done anything yet. You said you want to. And in this case, not only does it not work, you're now putting the cart before the horse. Because that's what I always saw here, is I skipped over the be transformed part right to the renewing of your mind. Because, being the center of the universe, as all of us think we are up to a certain age, and sometimes even beyond, what affects me and what I do is all that really matters. Which means that at least I got part of this right. Because what I noticed was that when we are being transformed, it's not what we're doing. We can't transform ourselves. Not here, not anywhere, because we can't bring transformation from what we don't have. And it's kind of complicated to think of it this way, and I kind of struggled at Knox. I think we got there eventually. But you can't rebuild yourself from the inside if you don't have the building blocks. It's like trying to build a fence when you don't have any wood. You can think about what a good fence it would be. You can even envision what the fence, you can visualize the fence and even you making it, but you still don't have a fence when you're done if you don't have wood to pound into the ground and then attach to each other. We have to have something happen within us if we are going to be transformed, and we cannot make that happen. We can take what we've got and make it better. We can do lots of things. I don't want to think that we're helpless, because we're not. But what Paul's talking about is something that we cannot do. But we can create the environment in which it can happen. And we do that by renewing our minds. Renewing our minds is a project of a lifetime. It's not the kind of thing you simply decide, my mind is going to be renewed by tomorrow morning, and it is. Because what Paul is talking about here in the renewing of our mind is bringing how we think, which then of course affects how we act, into a new way of thinking. And that new way of thinking is what we see described over and over again in Scripture. It's paying attention to the reality of God within our lives and taking seriously the relationship we now have with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We renew our minds by pushing away what isn't helpful, which is everything you've ever seen in advertising and just about everything you've ever seen on television, and saying, no, there's more. There's better. There's something else. And we find that better in Scripture. We find it in conversation with each other as the Holy Spirit directs these conversations. We find it in listening to preaching, mine or anyone else's. We find it in moments of meditation. We find it in prayer. We find these things that we need to renew ourselves by pushing away the old, which is unhelpful, and bringing in the new. And we do this because, once again, we have this strange idea that we can think ourselves into better behavior, or we can think ourselves into a new way of being. And once again, thanks to the work of behavioral economists, psychologists of all sorts, that's simply not true. It doesn't work that way. You don't think yourself into better behavior, you behave yourself into better thinking. You can stand in a corner, once again, and not think about a polar bear for as long as you like. It still won't change what you behave. It will temporarily. That's why resolutions frequently last almost a month. But what makes the difference is the behavior that happens. And yes, the behavior is triggered by thinking. It's a bit of a circle here. Let's not lose sight of the fact that we are a whole being. We don't have a behavior part and a thinking part that are not connected, because that's silly. But until we start actually the doing, the thinking will never stick. And we see this in some other things. Well, you see it frequently in counseling, and I'm sure I've mentioned this before. And you run into this if you do couples counseling, particularly with people who have been married for a short period of time, you know, 3 or 4 years, maybe even less. And they will come to you and they say, well, I just don't think I'm in love anymore. And for those of you who have been married for a long time, you think, well, what's love got to do with being married? You're married, just get over it. And then you get a kinder response. And hopefully you don't say that out loud or you're going to lose some clients. But what you do is you say, well, I have something I want you to do. And we're going to try this. And I want you, between now and the next time we meet, hopefully a couple of weeks, maybe a month, I want you to go home and I want you to behave as if you love this person. You don't have to love them at all. You don't even have to like them. But for the next period of time, I want you to behave like you like them, like you love them, as you did when you were first married. Virtually without exception, what happens is people come back and they say, well, as it turns out, no, we did not fall out of love. We may have fallen out of infatuation. We may have been crabby with each other. We may have been impatient. Lots of other things. But this behavior reinforces what actually is and moves people into the reality of loving each other again. How you behave changes how you think. And we'd like to say this is just some trivial aphorism, but functional MRIs are wonderful things, especially when they put them on your head. They have done studies, replicated dozens, if not hundreds of times, where if you smile, the parts of your brain that indicate that you are happy light up. Okay, that makes sense. You're smiling. Take a pencil, put it in your mouth longwise, and the same parts of your brain light up. Because smiling is a physical activity that affects how you think and how you feel. The physicality of it affects you. So this idea that we are brains that happen to have bodies is really backwards, or at least inadequate. What Paul is telling us here is that we want to be transformed. We all want to be transformed. You don't have to be very long on your road to, or on your path in your relationship with God to realize that there are things about you that aren't that great. And we want those to be changed. We want to be transformed into the people that we want to be. Our problem is that we often think that we can think our way into that, and therefore we can create our own transformation. When we can't, we change the way we behave, which changes the way we think, which allows God to transform us. Now, I'm not putting a limitation on God. Yes, a sovereign God could transform us in a heartbeat, but God has not chosen to work that way. Transformation almost always is a lengthy process. And it will never be completed here. We will never be fully transformed here in this fallen world. Ultimate transformation will happen when we are in the presence of God in that ultimate way. But we can work towards it. But how do we know we're on that way? How do we know that we've begun the process of renewing our minds by behaving in different ways, which renews our minds, which leads to transformation? Because being transformed is a process. It's not an end. It's not something that just happens and then you're done. It's a continuum of transformation. Well, how do we know we're on it? Well, Paul thankfully gives us some helpful ways to look forward to it. And he says, this is what will happen. When you are being transformed, you will then be able to test and approve what God's will is. You'll be able to know what God's will is for you. And this takes time as well. If you interact with young people ever, you will find that the beginning stages of their transformation tends to come with a deep sense that God is calling them to do something huge and dramatic. And I'm not saying that some people are not called to do huge and dramatic things for God. People are called to go to other countries, learn another culture, learn another language, of course. But not everybody is. And when I was in my office talking to somebody who felt that they had been called to go to the United Arab Emirates with the clothes on their back and not a dollar in their pocket and convert everyone there, I counseled caution. This doesn't mean that you're not hearing that God has a plan for you, because of course he does. But in the beginning stages of this, we tend to look at big and dramatic as the only thing that matters. It's a function of being young. Chronologically or relationally. And there's nothing wrong with it. But as we move further along into this journey of transformation, we get a clearer idea of what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is for us. And for some of us, yes, it continues to be confirmed that we are called to go to another culture to accomplish those sorts of things in a way that other people aren't. But for most of us, we're called to be where we are, to make a difference in our day-to-day interactions with the people that we see often, some of whom we've known all of our lives. And we see that that is God's will for us. Because the great thing about it is that everyone has got a part to play in God's ultimate purpose for this earth. And everyone has an opportunity to be transformed into the person they were created to be, to accomplish what only they can do. And for most of us, it doesn't require going to another culture. Lots of us, it doesn't require moving to another city. It's being where we are. And as we get older, we see it with more and more clarity where we need to spend our time and our energy to accomplish what God has in mind for us. Paul continues to say that one of the other ways we know this, and there's lots more going on in Romans 12, 3 to 8, talking about gifts, but one of the ways that we know that we are being transformed is we get a better understanding of what our gifts are that we give back to the community of faith first and then to the larger community. When you first move into this relationship, you probably don't have much of an idea of what your gifts might be, of what the Holy Spirit has equipped you to do so that you can accomplish what only you can do. It takes time to figure that out, at least most of the time. There are outliers to everything, including these, but for most of us, it takes a while in community to have people say, you know, you're really good at teaching. You know, I've noticed that your faith, when you talk about what you believe, it encourages me just because you have it. That's a gift, and it's a gift to all of us. Whatever your gift might be, you will see it either in this list or in 1 Corinthians 12. You'll see it in lots of places in Scripture. And as you spend more time in this transformation journey, you will understand it better, and you'll know how to use it better. It's one of the ways that you know you are being transformed. Because transforming people exercise discernment in their gifts. So the question is, how are you doing? How are you doing with these two things? How are you renewing your mind? Well, you renew your mind by what you do. Do you come to church? Well, obviously you do, because you're here. Do you read the Bible in ways that are helpful and encouraging to you? Do you pray? Do you meditate? Do you engage with other members of the faith community, whether it's of your church or larger than that? Do you engage with the community you're in? Are you open to the Holy Spirit's guidance for what you should do next? If you're doing all of those things, then yes, you are putting yourself in a position where your mind can be renewed through what you do. And if those things are happening, then yes, you are being transformed. Are you there yet? No. As I've said before, peace on John Wesley, we don't arrive at perfection here. I figure if he couldn't do it, who are we to think we could? But we can keep moving. I look at parts of myself and I say, I haven't been transformed here at all. And if I look at those parts, I'll become discouraged because they're parts that are hard for me. And I'm sure you have some yourself. But I look at all these other things and say, I can't believe how far God has taken me. I was a terrible person for years, as most of us have these moments. For me, it was maybe longer, maybe shorter. Who knows? I look back and I say, I was a terrible person in these ways then, and I'm not now. I have been transformed. And it's more than just age, and it's more than just the maturity that comes from living in a society. We see those things and we say, this transformation is happening now. And it's going to continue to happen. That's where the sermon title comes from, with the question mark. Transformed with a question mark. Do we think we've been transformed? Well, if you think you haven't, you might want to talk to the people around you who will probably have a better assessment than you will. And I'm pretty sure that if you step back and take some time to look at where you've been and where you are now, to look at how you've changed, you will see that you have been transformed. You will see that you now have a far better understanding of how to work out God's will for you and where you are supposed to be working out for God than you did before. I'm sure you have a much better idea of what your spiritual gifts are and how they are best exercised in the church. And that's what transformation means. Not some kind of ultimate, you're all done. The ongoing walk of following God, knowing God's will for you, working out what it means to do what only you can do to bring God's glory and His purposes to this earth. Amen.